Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What do Frank Ntilikina and Frankenstein have in common? They're both terrifying and full of electricity. Happy Halloween. It's the Hoop and Hefeweizen's podcast. How are you, Ruben Tomas?
I am.
Redhead Mavericks.
How are you?
Nemesis. Mortal enemy.
Okay, how are you, Squish 41, asshole?
I'm Dick. Great. I'm great. The Mavericks won, so naturally.
Yeah, I feel good.
Things feel good. We saw some pluses and some minuses. The big thing was starting strong in a first quarter for a change.
Our first winning first quarter.
We were like a minus nine in the first quarter through that point or something
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, something stupid.
Gross.
Yeah.
Just gross. But no, I feel good. I don't know. What are you?
This week, you know, we lost the one game where I was like, yeah, we're probably going to lose that game against the Nuggets. Like, it looked worse just because, like, of like how bad we lost by. But I mean, like, the other three games that we played this week, like the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Kings today, like those are three games where I was like, we should win those games,
right?
Like, even if we play like shit, which we did, you know, like we should have lost. We really should have lost that Spurs game, like honestly. And I don't know how. I guess, you know, Jalen Brunson just was like, fuck it, I'm taking over, you know. Maxi was
losing.
Like, fuck it. Yeah, Maxi was like, fuck this.
Really, Maxi.
Yeah, Maxi, yeah. Dude, Maxi had a fucking game that night.
Maxi burned the Spurs to the ground.
Yeah, it was great, dude. Obviously, that Nuggets game was just like, by the third quarter, you know, Tim Beamer, or one of our contributors, was already writing the, you know, post game because it was like, we're down 30. So why the fuck not, you know? It just won those games. And I mean, it is the Nuggets. And even though they are missing a few pieces, like, they still have, you know, the MVP and Michael Porter Jr. and other pieces like that. So, Today's game was kind of weird. Today's game was weird because we started off so well. Like, I didn't expect that, honestly. Like, I've already been conditioned this year to be like, oh, we're going to have a shitty first quarter, and then, like, the next three, like, we'll somehow try to dig ourselves out, you know? This time it more seemed like the first quarter was fucking amazing. The second quarter, we let them back into the game, and it was like, why the fuck did you do that? And then it got close, basically, until Luka hit, like, a fucking 40-foot shot from the logo.
Yeah.
And then threw it a fucking 80-foot, you know, outlet pass, you know, for a score.
Just, you know, Luka yeah. shit.
Right? Which is, like,
typical.
Yeah. But, I mean, typical I saw, like, Luka. It's like I saw Tim McMahon's tweet today talking about how, like, you know, Luka said, like, it's crazy that he seems more comfortable hitting, like, the fucking logo shots than, like, free throws. And that's really weird, and I don't understand it. Because I'm a mortal being, but you know.
I tweeted a funny Tobey Maguire gif, but he's literally like Peter Parker trying to figure out his newfound basketball MVP powers.
Exactly. Before we move on, let's go ahead and do a ad read. So first of all, it's gonna be Symbol. We have a new sponsor that you guys are gonna love. Symbol is a stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash, which actually sounds kind of cool. Use sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your team wins. Join the 7,000-plus early adopters, holy shit, who have already started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.symbol.com to create a free account, and when you deposit, make sure to use a promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. Visit www.symbol.com and use the promo code SD, and your deposit will be risk-free. This means even if you lose money, Symbol will refund your initial deposit. No questions asked, which is actually pretty nice. You can join Symbol and start investing and profiting off your favorite teams. Next off, we have our old friend Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Get in the conversation that you listen to your ear every day. So my own experiences on the app, you know, we've done a couple times. I've normally been pretty inebriated when I do it because I don't like to public speak. but and again, like, you obviously you can download Spotify Green Room app on the Android App Store, on the Apple iStore, which is free. You create a profile, you can leak your own Twitter. I know for us, it's like the MFLs is one, and then I think there's a Reddit Mavericks group and stuff like that. You can follow me at Reddit Mavericks to be notified when our room ever goes live, which may be soon, which may not. But yeah. So anyway, so back to the games. Yeah, dude. Like, it was, again, 3-1 with honestly, a very weird rotation. Dwight Powell starting is, like, the big thing. I think everybody's kind of like, what the fuck is going on? the one guy that really impressed me during the Kings game was Willie. It's weird to think that Willie probably is, like, our best defensive big, you know?
Not that weird. I think that's been true for a couple of years, but that's also a problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I think that's kind of where I was going at. It's like, you know, like Willie should not be, like, your best defensive big. Like,
I should absolutely be our backup big.
Yes.
Like, that makes sense, but he should not be starting. Yeah. We've got to be able to find something better.
Something, right? But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of anything else that happened this week, you know, between the games. I mean, I guess that comeback for the Spurs was great. The Rockets game kind of went the way I thought it was going to. Like, you know, they're a young team. Those young guys look really good. Kevin Porter Jr. looks like the fucking truth, and I'm very mad that we didn't even, like, bother to look at that dude when he was obviously let go. I think by the Cavs. I can think of, you have any other things you want to talk about, Squish?
I mean, it was cool to see the team just come out swinging in the first quarter. Luka in particular, I think, to come out with some energy instead of running out of, like, I don't know. It just felt like he started low energy on several occasions, but maybe he has been low on energy. I don't know. And I don't know. It was an interesting game. It kind of, we're defensively sound enough to kind of grind out some things, it looks like, which is cool. Where the offense is stumbling, it definitely seems like we have better defensive schemes this year, but I also think that's a personnel thing as well, because you've got Reggie and Sterling and Frank. I thought Sterling looked good. I don't know. We could do some pros and cons. Like, I think the pros were, like, the beginning of the game energy and just sticking with it. And then, you know, Luka being Luka. Yeah. It wasn't pretty. We've yet to have a truly, like, good game. We've had some good wins in a sense that there's games that we probably shouldn't have won that we did so far. But we've yet to play a really good game. And I think it's, I don't know, new pieces, new staff, all the stuff we've been talking about this whole time. And, you know, being impatient about, or trying to be patient about, like, it's just, it's a weird mixed bag. Cons, maybe don't pull the hot lineup. That was one thing I did have a problem with, because we're building a lead. Sterling yeah. Brown hit a three going into the last TV timeout, and then they immediately pulled the hot lineup for Powell and a frigid Dorian Finney-Smith coming back in. I thought Kidd should have left that out there a little bit longer than he did. It was weird. Yeah. Like, this is the lineup we've built a 10-point lead with, or a 12-point lead, or whatever it was at that point.
Yeah. Like, double J.
And then you put in other, like, yeah, it didn't make sense to me to change it up there. To not even bring them back. Like, the fact we didn't see Frank again down the stretch really kind of blew my mind. Because Frank Ntilikina is definitely the player of the game in my mind. He got the TV interview and everything, but, like, it's true. He really changed some things. And one of the reasons I was excited when we signed him is because, you know, I watched the Olympics, and I watched a lot of Olympic basketball, and he looked really solid for France.
I'm saying,
what does that have to do with anything?
I don't know about it.
Thanks.
No, I agree.
Just derail my train of thought. You got it, brother.
I was saying Frank, I don't know if he should be starting, but he definitely should be finishing games. You know, he should be part of that. It's very early. You know, obviously, like, we've only seen this, like, we've seen him, what, like, a couple games, like, out of the games that we've played so far. But he's already, absolutely already cracked the rotation, which is great. You know,
It didn't take long.
Exactly. I was worried that it was going to take, like, 10, 15 games, and be like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, no, but, like, he cracked the rotation super early, kind of showed what he can do. And I'm not so sure if he needs to start, but he definitely needs to finish these games. He needs to be with that closing lineup, I think. You know, because he brings so much, and it's not so much like the offense stuff, which is like it's a plus. You know, if he hits those threes, that's a great fucking deal. But what I want is the defense. You know, just him to just be a fucking distraction. You know, on the court. You know, just disrupting everything. And yeah, I mean that's good. You know, another positive for me this season has been Jalen Brunson. Yep. Like kind of, you know how we talked about, you know, trying to get like a true like secondary creator. I'm not inclined to really give him that title yet, but it's inching towards that, you know.
He's definitely taking a step forward. I think he's finally breaking out of his tunnel vision. I think that's apparent in his assists per game at this point, which is good because he had a tendency to just, it's like he played with his head down or something, and I don't know. He's definitely finding people better. So, that's a good step.
Yeah, he had some really good passes there, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, he's obviously not going to have an 11 assist game every night, but, like he did the other night. But, you know, it's just good to see him, like, really take that step forward into being, like, another creator for the team. I'm trying to think of anything else. Are we going to talk about? We need to go into questions.
Well, we were talking about cracking the rotation. Oh, yes. It looked like this was maybe the night.
Yeah, that we'd see
Moses Brown would crack the rotation. He came in, I think, because Maxey got hurt. I think we were getting pushed around a little bit on the boards. That seemed like a logical substitution. I was like, Moses will be perfect right now. Then he picked up two quick fouls, and then he had a possession where I think he was a little out of sync with what the offense was setting up for, because you saw him and Hardaway, like, looked like he was trying to set an off ball for Timmy, and Tim was, like, there kind of trying to figure it out, too, and you just see him point towards Luka, like, go to the ball, or it was maybe Brunson, like, he was supposed to go set a screen. I don't know, it's interesting. And so that could provide a little insight as to why he's not getting any run, and I've seen, everyone's like, oh, he can't play defense, look, he got two fouls, but I'm like, the alternative has been Powell. Like, I've seen Powell in that same situation look equally bad, so I don't know. If I can come to conclusions on Dwight Powell after 7 years, like, let's not judge Moses Brown on 2 minutes of basketball, because, you know, he got a block and a dunk against Houston, and everyone was like, start this man, he's Jesus. Like, it's a basketball game. He got brought off the bench randomly with like 5.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Let's relax. I mean, there's things he can improve on and work on, but there's also things that he offers unique. He's a great rebounder, and I think what this game gave me, as someone I would like to think I'm at the top of the Moses Brown hive with everyone else that's hyped on him and sees potential, right? Like, I'm excited about potential more than anything, because we don't have any bigs with potential.
No.
You know, because Powell and Willie are who they are. What's encouraging for me is, he got pulled early. Yeah, he got two quick fouls, but, like, they did put him out there. That's good. And I think if they wanted him in Frisco, he would be in Frisco. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he is, though, if you will look, every single game, he's, like, two seats over from the coaches. Like, he's right there.
Yeah.
Like, they have him sitting there for a reason, because I think they do want to develop him. And I think they're trying to break him out of some bad habits he probably picked up on his bad teams he was on before.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're maybe grooming him to hopefully become a solid center. You know what I mean? I don't know. But he's so raw and athletic, and you can't teach how hard he plays. So I think right now he's very much in like a young center thinking too much kind of phase, maybe. I don't know. He seemed a little unsure of where to be. So I'll give folks that. But like, I'm not going to be like, oh, send him to Frisco. He's not ready to play. Based on a 2-minute stretch, he randomly gets thrown in the third quarter of a game. Like, you forget this kid had two, three 20 rebound games last season. That's pretty hard to do if you suck. So I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. But we need him to be, it's clear he needs to. I don't know. He's learning his way. I think they're probably working with him on where to be and, you know, setting screens. And I think a big thing that I am critical of, just watching in the 14 minutes he's played this season, he needs to work on like resetting the screen, if that makes sense.
Yes,
I see a lot of occasions because he knows he can kind of get a bucket in the paint, but like there are times where he'll set the screen, but he'll get a switch and immediately get post up under the rim. Which at the way the Mavs play, I feel like they probably prefer him to reset that, unless it's like a massive mismatch. Then again, they don't throw him the ball when he does that anyway, so I guess I don't know the answer to what he's supposed to be doing, but he's figuring it out, and it's still early. I don't know, but they're clearly trying to develop him. I don't think Tyson Chandler spends any amount of time with the kid if he doesn't see something there, and I don't think he's sitting right next to the coaches on the bench if they don't want him watching and learning some things, like, look, you see what Powell did there, oh, you see this. So I don't know
exactly. No, we'll the way yeah but, so yeah I, yeah what I see with him, like, obviously the same stuff. Like, the thing about me, though, is, like, I know Twitter. I know, like, people, like, latch on to these guys, right? Like, whether it be a Frank, who I think which I think Frank is, like, you know, obviously going to be really good. Whether it be, like, you know, Moses Brown, obviously he's one of those guys, too. It got to the point where I fucking wrote an article about what kaiju he was, because I've seen different people say different things on Twitter. Like, obviously, I've seen the Kraken. I've seen Godzilla. I've seen, you know. So I had
you're just referring to me.
Yeah, no, I've seen who is Dalton?
Yeah.
I've seen Dalton Richard, you know, do some you know.
Like, you're either Team Kaiju or you're not.
And I'm just like, fuck it, bro. Like, I gotta fucking put my foot down and fucking write about which kaiju realistically
is the moment. One positive, though, someone had made the point. There was a play where Harrison Barnes drove into the paint and elected to pass the ball away and actually got a turnover simply because Moses was down there.
Was right there. Yeah, he's a big fucking dude.
Yeah, that is one thing that was a positive. And yeah, he got 2 fouls. The first call was bullshit. The second one is fucking De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, this is what it is. You know,
that would have got roasted on the same move.
It is what it is.
He's right, quick as shit.
Do we need to talk about anything else, or are we going to questions?
People are really out on Porzingis already. And
yeah, I totally get it. That's the thing. Yeah. Your feelings are valid.
Yep. Someone made a joke about the healthy offseason quote, but like, that part of the prophecy is true in the sense that he's moving well.
Yeah. I mean, when he's out there,
the problem is he's clearly made out of balsa wood. So, yeah.
I also want to say in regards to the Nuggets game, it is absolutely okay to freak out and panic and, like, basically be the fan that you want to be. You know, like, if you want to turn off the game, I'm not going to fucking judge you. If you're going to keep watching and bitch the entire time, I'm not going to judge you. You could be a fan any way you want to be. Because I know some people are like, oh, like, people are overreacting. It's like, bro, like, it's a game against, you know, a team that we've played historically pretty well against, you know?
Well, and another thing to that, and I think everyone's guilty, but you can't gatekeep how people can be fans. What you should stop doing is going at each other's throats. Like, I don't know. God forbid you have a fan base that's passionate about their team. Yeah. I think Mavs Twitter is extremely unique. Like, I haven't, I don't know. And maybe that's my own Twitter algorithm at work, but like, I don't recall other fan bases being as lit as Mavs Twitter can be.
Not this season, seems like, but let's see. Let's go on again to questions, but first is going in some ad reads. First is Symbol. Symbol
more?
I know. Symbol is a sports art market that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money off Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn cash to win payout. That's kind of nice. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for a profit. Use the promo code SD to make your first deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money or you just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit. No questions asked. Again, another one with Spotify Green Room. It's a live audio-only sports talk platform. Free download on the Apple Store and the Android Store. I'm not so sure about Google yet. And obviously, download. It's free, and it's free to use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to the breaking news. Again, we're not really on there quite yet. Maybe down the line, we'll see. All right, let's go into getting the questions. How about that?
Let's see. I'll be on there when I get real money to talk about them.
Yes. Oh, yes. Like, I'm not cutting that out. Let's see. First question comes from Charles. It's not a question, actually. The way Jason Kidd speaks reminds me of Cleveland from Family Guy. That's it. No question.
What?
I don't have no idea. Because I don't see that comparison.
Interesting.
It's not so much Jason Kidd talking. It's like when I read the quotes. I've tweeted about it already. He sounds like the Riddler. Or he sounds like a guy who just like got a thesaurus. You know, and just like wants
the field mouse is fast, but the owl sees at night.
Or something, you know, like it's just like sometimes the way he talks, bro, it's just like, dude, like just talk normal, please. You know, it's almost like I'm new to this. It's almost like a Jason Garrett, you know, like almost like robotic, like what the fuck are you even talking about?
His cadence is interesting.
It is what it is.
The way he says things, I don't know.
Yeah,
his sentences are fun. Like, oh, how much would you have liked him to play? I am sorry about that.
Yeah, it's like, just like, what the fuck are you even talking about, dude?
It's like kids on a pull string.
It's great. Let's see. Next question comes from Sher. I did have a super question, which I will remember soon. Well, it wasn't remembered soon. So you're on this with no question.
Another question. Okay. Did you buy the unicorn head for Willie?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from Andrew Lynn. Can my Tottenham poach Graham Potter from Brighton? Pretty please. Absolutely not, Andrew. Graham Potter's not leaving until the job is finished. The job finishing obviously being landing in the top 10 in the Premier League. So fuck you. Let's see. Next question comes from Mavs McGee. This is a good one. It's a good one for you. How is Dwight Powell keeping himself in the starting lineup? Wrong answers only. Sorry, wrong answers.
He is actually in charge of the nuclear launch codes, and he's a maniac and says, if I am not a starter every game, then I will end the world.
Mine was not as crucial. Mine was just that he's Wilt Chamberlain incarnate, except, you know, has none of the skill.
he is actually the center who was promised, and Mark Cuban is adopted him as his Canadian son, and he's keeping him safe.
Make sure everything is good to go.
It's a Mavs starting center. I don't know.
Let's see.
He has an email screenshotted of something Cuban said.
Something real bad.
Yeah, something real bad, you know.
Let's see. Next question comes from Smiley Cuss. Talk about the rise of Frank Ntilikina. So Frank is one of those guys where I realized like New York Knicks fans like love the student. Like I've gotten followed by like five or six Knicks fans since we got him. You know, and they're always just like, dude, like he's great. And I'm like, I see this now. You know, like I kind of thought that before we signed him. That he just like, it's a weird situation, obviously, with like Thibodeau and like needing like the style of play that Thibodeau wants to run. Like he just was kind of out of the lineup and stuff like that.
I don't know how.
I don't know how either. Cause it seems like that would have been the perfect, player for him.
I feel like they probably miss him.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, they're doing pretty well, it seems like. But I know, like, the fans miss him, obviously. It's going to be really interesting when we play the Knicks in the Garden, and it's just, like, half the crowd's going to be fucking booing Kristaps, obviously, and half the crowd's going to be, like, cheering Frank.
No. All of the crowd is going to be booing Kristaps.
Okay, yeah.
And probably 70% of the ones that were booing Kristaps will probably still cheer Frank.
Yeah. And maybe Reggie. I don't know. I think they like Reggie too still. But yeah, I mean, you know, Frank, I like the fact that Frank is getting minutes on this team. He's obviously proven himself to be probably one of the more crucial, you know, pieces of this year's squad.
I'll tell you one thing that's really cool about Frank, that you can't really say the same about for a few of our other like defensive, you know, acquisition, like Bullock. I mean, Bullock is, he's got some game, right? He's got game. He's a good shooter and he's crafty, but like you can really trust Frank to handle the ball.
Yes.
That's cool. And he seems very sure of himself in those situations. And I said earlier on Twitter, he seems to always make the right pass, like the right play. Right? He just knows. He just fits. He plays defense. He can shoot. He can create a bit. He's not like a juggernaut, but like he's very much that, I don't know, nice little glue piece that looks pretty solid so far. But yeah, there's a reason he's claimed a spot in the rotation already. And, you know, I was hoping early on, I was like, I need to see Frank off the bench before I see Trey Burke. And I think Frank has just made that happen in a big way. And I think it will continue to trend upward for him.
Exactly.
So that's been cool. You know, I'm happy eating crow on that one because, yeah, I used to shit on Frank Ntilikina, but that's because Knicks fans were being obnoxious. And I think at that point it was DSJ related. I think even Knicks fans were being weird about DSJ at one point. I don't remember. I made some joke about Frank Ntilikina because I know that Alex B weirdo, that Knicks fan.
Man, what a name. I've heard about that guy in a while. Right.
But he bookmarks ancient tweets and likes to bring things up later. Like he kept receipts. But it's like contextually at the time I was right as fuck. Like also don't bookmark my shit. I think I deleted that tweet. I was like, I just don't want this weirdo lurking. Like leave me alone.
That's weird.
That's the guy that was celebrating when KP got injured in the bubble that I roasted on Twitter for 48 hours straight.
Yeah, Knicks fans are
a different breed. Weird.
Yes, it's kind of weird. Let's see. The next question comes from John. He asks, scenario, you guys just got hired to be the advisor just for Kid. What's the first thing you tell him?
Start Willie over Powell?
Yeah, like start a different center. Like, doesn't even have to be like Willie, just someone different who's not Powell. And preferably, obviously, I love Boban, but Boban's good for like stretches, you know? I think Boban and Powell are kind of in the same cloth where it's like they can give you the energy if you need it, but they should not be starting.
My other hot take I've just reeled back in because I thought about it some was like also start Reggie over Dorian.
Oh, see,
based on current Dorian because he cannot make a shot. I don't know.
I've been saying
what is going on.
I want Reggie to start.
But yeah, the problem with that is Dorian is pretty decent rebounder, and I think he offsets a lot of the fact like that Powell cannot fucking do anything but set good screens and roll hard. Like,
well, I mean, if Powell's not starting though, and Willie,
that's true.
Yeah,
but you know, Willie's not a juggernaut on the glass either. He's a solid. He moves well on defense and can block some shots. I don't know.
If I was hired to be just an advisor just for a Kid, I'd be like, dude, just like. Let Twitter run the lineups real quick. Like, just get like two games, you know? Small sample size, but I just want to see it.
Don't give Moses a Carlisle leash.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, like, make sure leashes are a little longer, you know? Like, if the hot hand is a hot hand, leave them in, you know? Like, just like, you know, my whole thing is like, if they miss like three in a row, it's like, okay, time to maybe, you know, look at it again. But, you know.
There was another one, but I forgot.
Yeah, those are just the things I'm like.
More Frank, the better.
Yes, more Frank, the better, please. Like, again, doesn't have to start, but I like to see him end those games.
Totally unrelated. I could tell that Sterling Brown is probably going to be a factor.
Somewhere,
Once he hits the rhythm, because like that shot he hit, it's like, okay. But he I don't know, good things seem to happen when he's around, too.
Yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from Julian. Thoughts on black licorice?
I can eat it, but I don't. It's not my. It's not like a fan favorite in my taste palate.
I don't really like black licorice. Thank you for the question, though. Goated Mavs asks, Who do you think will win DPOY this season? Is it gonna be Rudy? Is it gonna be Rudy Gobert again for like the
Rudy? You almost said Rudy Gay.
I know my brain.
That's what I'm going with.
Rudy Gay. Could you imagine? I think they're both on the Jazz too this year. So that's even better. I remember Rudy Gobert again, dude. I don't know, bro. Like,
it's gotta be Rudy or
Matisse. Matisse Thybulle. I like that. I like him.
That's a good idea.
As a dark horse candidate for that one.
Matisse.
Yeah. Cool, dude. Let's see. Next question comes from Ollie asks, what has Powell got on Cuban that means he has to play and got paid a ton? What could he have on a Mark Cuban?
He's got some dirt, man.
He's got nudes or something. I don't know.
He's got Cuban. He's got Cuban's nudes.
It's gotta be something, bro. Like, I have no idea, man.
He has the tape from when he acquired, because if you don't know, before he was a basketball player, Dwight Powell was an elite hacker for the Canadian government, and he's actually obtained actual audio recording from when Cuban fired Don Nelson back in the day.
Don Nelson, way back in the day.
Yeah. And he's also got audio of what he actually said to Steve Nash when we didn't resign him.
Oh, that's actually
the reason Powell obtained it and is keeping it over his head is because it was something it was like the one thing you don't say to Canadians.
The one because Steve Nash is Canadian.
Steve Nash is Canadian.
That makes fucking sense. I love it.
Yep.
Let's see. Next question comes from Slingy. Our friend Grant asks, can I be in charge of the Mavs for one day? Man, how much shit do you think Grant could pull off in one day?
I know he'd trade Porzingis.
He would trade in a heartbeat, dude. Like, for anything. I know he would do it for anything, bro. Anything back is a good return in Grant's eyes.
I know Twitter wants him gone. Oh my.
So Grant's gonna be the hero that we all need. dude, I don't know what else. What do you think he would do besides like trade Porzingis? Like, Say he has from 12:01 in the a.m. to 11:59 p.m. to like do whatever the fuck he wants, like in charge of the Mavs, like he owns it and everything and does everything, can do everything.
He'd really just pull whatever strings he had to pull to acquire Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh, that's a good one, actually. I'd take Jaren. I would take him. I know he's injury prone too, but I would take him.
He'd throw the whole roster at Boston for Jaylen Brown.
I would talk to him in his ear and be like, hey, can you get some better beer options in the AAC, please? That'd be one of my things. I'd be like, hey, do that for me. can you be in charge? I would love to see it. I'd love to see chaos on Twitter just for one day. That'd be so great.
Like just, GM just, for the day,
and just then, like just like ramifications, like forever and ever.
It's like a GM for the day thing, and Cuban's not allowed to say no to anything for 24 hours.
To anything you say, yeah. Let's see. Okay, it's a question for me, I guess. Big H asks, would you rather have Brighton relegated or the Mavs bring back Carlisle? I would rather not the Brighton get relegated. I'd rather us win the league. So I'd rather, you know, that happen than the Mavs bring back Carlisle. So, yeah, I really don't want Carlisle back. I think even though like it seems like we're kind of struggling on some aspects, I think the team seems to be having more fun, you know, which I feel like as like a employee, like if you're happy, you're gonna produce event, you know, you're gonna produce better, more. So. It's one of those things for me. Yeah. let's see. Next question comes from, oh my God. Lisa Minutid asks, how do we awaken Luca, heal KP, and send Powell back to Canada where he belongs?
Repeat that.
How do we awaken Luca, heal KP, and send Powell back to Canada where he belongs? How do we do this?
You basically Kyle's not going anywhere. I'm convinced he's going to start for the Mavericks until he's 50 years old.
Yeah, like he's there. Yeah. He will get a sack in the AAC.
We heal KP by making him 3 inches shorter. And then Luca will get it together. He's too competitive.
I think for Luca, we just have to make him see red every day.
Yeah.
Just make him fucking mad as shit. Take away his Fortnite, you know, and shit like that. Just like,
if someone could break Luca's PlayStation every day and hit on his girlfriend and then not call a foul every time he gets fouled for the whole first quarter every game.
Exactly.
Just piss him off.
Yes. Let's see. Ale asks, candy corn, yay or nay?
I say yay.
I really don't like candy corn.
I like candy corn.
I don't really fuck with it, but you know, if you do, that's cool. Let's see. Junior the Adele Stan asks, how many games will Porzingis miss this year?
Half of them.
Yeah, like it seems like it. He's already missed half of them already. So, you know.
I'm just going to be blunt. I think he misses half the season.
Which, I mean, that's...
I need him to prove me wrong. That's the only reason I'm...
That's a lot of...
It's the only reason I'm being harsh.
Yeah.
I need him to prove me wrong.
I say he misses a quarter.
I will say this. Back stiffness is preferable to...
Leg.
Knee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I agree. I'd say a quarter of the games, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very frustrating season, I think.
Yeah, he honestly needs to prove that he's worth running Carlisle out of town.
Yeah, because basically what happened. You know,
like, that's what happened.
Yeah. Let's see. Shot Us asks, should we trade for Cam Reddish? That'd be cool.
I don't know what we would trade.
I don't think we have anything of value.
Oh, yeah, we don't have anything the Hawks want.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
That'd be cool, though. I'd be down for it. Halcyon Daves asks, best Godzilla film of each era, Showa and SI Millennium.
That's all you.
Yep, and debate about Kid Godzilla for or against. Okay, well, I cannot debate myself. but
you could.
Showa is Godzilla the original. Has to be. If not, if I can't pick the original, it's Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, the first one. Fucking classic. Hesai, again, 1984. I can't pick that one. I pick a Godzilla versus Destoroyah. That one is fucking wild. Just like, it's just like the emotional crux of the entire series. Millennium. Millennium, my favorite actually is Godzilla. I think it's like GMK. Where he's like an evil spirit and stuff like that. I think that's cool shit. It's a really cool like interpretation of all the stuff that happened. But I will say like my brother loves Final Wars, even though it's like a shitty like plot line. The plot line is stupid as shit, but like just the monsters fighting everybody is cool. So I totally get that. Kid Godzilla for or against the original from Showa is a fucking travesty and I never want to see it again. The one from the Hesai series, I'm totally for. I'm cool with him, like, being a member of the future of the Godzilla movies. So, and then he also, I'm going to answer this one too, just because he asked this one too. Why is One Piece the best shonen anime? And you're wrong if you disagree. It is the best shonen. It is probably one of the best shonen anime of all time. It's fucking great. It's just super fucking long. And so I will read the manga, but not watch the anime at all. Unless sometimes I'll get online and I'll watch the fights. But that's about it. Let's see. Next question comes from, and I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. Algis, why are Mavs fans freaking out after 5 games into an 82 game season? Last season, the Mavs were 9-14 and no one died. Patience.
Well, it comes with high expectations. We had an organization, I don't know, it's twofold, right? Because you've got fucking Luka, who is always projected to be close to, if not winning, the MVP for like the second year in a row. We've got new pieces, you know, we've got a new locker room culture. The preseason, we went 4-0. Everyone was having a great time. Everything looked like the energy was different. And they had a swagger and everyone's ready to go. And an organization, you know, hyping up. You know, no one comes out and says, there's going to be growing pains. We've got all this new stuff. It was this is a big change. We're excited. Yada, yada. You have no reason but to be excited. But with back-to-back first-round exits, of which you get a little closer, to coming out of it, you know, and we had the Clippers on the ropes. We're up 2-0. Up 2-0. Then, you know, the ref show and Kawhi Leonard took over. It happens. It was a mixed bag, but, you know, we were all there. We saw what happened. Yep. People just want the team to be good. There's a lot of pressure, I think, on things right now for, like, the fan side of things, because everyone's like, well, oh, God, you know, we've got to be good, or Luka's going to leave, or just we're thinking, I don't know. It's just people are thinking championship or bust, mixed with the frustrating off seasons over and over and over and over again. And I think we'd have a lot more patience if we all didn't have to sit there and watch Dirk's twilight rot away after 2011. Like, I think maybe we'd be a little more chill about these growing pains if it weren't like, well, we were supposed to sign a big player for years. We were supposed to do this for years, and we just kind of kept falling over ourselves. And now Luka, who's this otherworldly talent, I don't know. I think it's just added pressure and expectations, and that's why. But also, the team has looked like shit at several points. It's not like, oh, new coaches. I mean, yeah, partially that, but like the team has looked horrible.
Yeah.
Like no one's making shots. It just hasn't. Someone made a point. I think it was SJ. She said that the team just hasn't been fun to watch. It's one thing to be like, all right, yeah, they're just kind of out of sync, but like we just haven't been fun to watch. Today was kind of fun. We've looked fun in stretches, right? But yeah, like overall, a full game. Yeah, overall,
yeah,
it hasn't been fun basketball to watch. And yeah. I think we're getting there, though. That's why. I mean, shit. Where are we now? 4-2.
Yes, we are.
All things considered, not a bad place to be in. So
yeah,
I don't know, but it is. Yeah, it's a long season. So I don't know. Both sides are valid, right? It is early. It is early. Like I have to rein myself in sometimes too. But at the same time, it's also okay to have high expectations. We've got Luka. Like we should be better than this.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think maybe having a foundation in place and this new culture or whatever, like maybe it turns the corner and we can start to really build something here. But people want that to happen sooner rather than later, because in the modern NBA environment, frankly, like there is that fear in the back of everyone's mind of, oh, we've got to get this together or our star is going to leave. It's just kind of how things are now.
It's just like just the way that the, yeah, it's exactly the way that it, you know, seems to go sometimes.
Yeah, everything is pressurized.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good answer. And there's really nothing else to add to that. You know, I was like, damn, you hit on everything I was going to say. Let's see, last question of the night comes from Carlos, which is very topical. Can the Mavs defeat their Achilles heel, the Sacramento Kings?
Funny you should ask.
Yeah, funny you should ask.
The answer to that is yes.
Yes, absolutely can, and we did. Thank God.
Holy I was. Shit. It did feel extra good to beat the Kings because I got sick of that.
I mean, like that, and just like Harrison Barnes has been having a fucking great season, which is good for him. And like, obviously, like getting not even trying to go for Rashawn Holmes in the offseason, like was like one of those things. Like, why the fuck aren't you trying to? You know.
Hey, you know, I'm of the opinion that his phone lines weren't open to anybody but the Kings.
Sure, it wasn't. I'm sure.
He seems like a guy that really wants to be there and build something there. And at the same time, fuck if he isn't everything Powell is, but like 58 times better.
Exactly.
God, sets good screens, rolls hard, but rebounds, plays defense.
Makes me mad.
Oh my God. Like just the prototype of the center you need next to Luka.
Exactly. That's him.
But no, it felt great to beat the Kings. So the answer is obviously yes. But no, that for me, like my sanity was on a string. It's like all the other losses, they bothered me. This, if we lost to the Kings again, I was going to be like, ever since bitch ass DeLon Wright waved at us last year.
Bro, where is he now? He's
Atlanta.
He's in Atlanta. Oh, that's even worse. Son of a bitch.
He had like, what, 4 points or something and was waving on a fourth quarter layup. Like, come on, man.
Fuck you.
Anyway. Like he was such a difference maker here. He was trash in Dallas. I don't know what his problem was in the first place. Know. So am I mad at the Kings or DeLon Wright? You decide.
You decide. Anyway.
I did piss him off on Twitter though.
Did you?
I put a tweet out after the Kings beat us last year, the game he waved. I was like, DeLon Wright waving at the Mavericks bench after making a layup to ice the game is like when your little brother finally beats you at a video game. And he liked that tweet and several others I said about him. And then I just screenshotted it and I was like laughing my ass off. It's like, I couldn't be less starstruck. Oh no, DeLon Wright.
Oh shit, DeLon Wright. All right. So, yep, those are all the questions for today, for this week. Thank you so much, guys, for answering questions, for asking questions. We love answering them every week. Obviously, recording is kind of late because the game was early, and then I guess like in like what 15 minutes, I think the Cowboys play. So this will probably be up probably around halftime of that. So if we're losing bad because Dak's not playing and you don't want to watch anymore, this is for you. But you know, because Dak's not playing tonight, so I'm very, very concerned. Anyway, that's it for tonight. I'll see you guys later. Bye, guys.
Adios.